This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
Always a privilege sitting in for Mark Cox and crew. They're taking President's Day off, but I'm here with Ethan. Yes, right, Ethan, we're doing the job.
You know it. We're doing a good
Try
job.
Try and contain your, contain your enthusiasm, would you, Ethan? I mean, really, come on. But my gosh. By the way, you can watch us do this if you'd like to on the 90, is it the Facebook page, correct? 97.1 FM Talk Facebook page?
Yep, we're on Facebook, we are on YouTube, we're on X, and we are on Rumble.
Okay. I tried to get it on my Facebook page this morning. By the way, mine's Heidi Harris Show. All my socials, Heidi Harris Show. But somehow I couldn't get it to work. And then it wanted me to reconnect. And then it wanted me to do that dreaded thing where you have to get the code in your phone. Have you, you've not dealt with this, right? Because you have an Android, right?
I mean, I've dealt with something similar for different apps where you get the code and they want you like the two-step verification and all that.
I can't find the code. I don't know where the code is. So I know you don't care about my problems, folks. I get it. But I tried to get it on the Heidi Harris Show Facebook page. Didn't work. But you can find it all kinds of other places, 97.1 FM Talk. So during the break, I was, and I'm not trying to be gleeful about this because it doesn't make me happy to see people suffering. But there are a lot of people, as you know, who've lost their jobs, federal employees. And if you look on my favorite real estate app, which I'm not going to give them a free plug for, coming soon, all these houses are listed in DC. Coming soon, coming soon, coming soon, coming soon. Unbelievable, Ethan. Now, in fairness, I didn't look at this app a month ago. Maybe there were the same kinds of things. I don't know. But it certainly looks like a lot of people are trying to dump their property and get the heck out of Dodge because they no longer have that cushy government job. And that doesn't even account for all the people who are working from home who've been fired now or at risk of being fired who live other places. You know, so there's that too. I don't know. It makes me sad because I get it. I understand what it's like to have to sell your house when you may not want to. Many of us have been there. I understand. But you know what? Don't work for the government. I mean, when you go back to D.C., my brother used to live back there. You go back there, houses just never drop in value. You know, like the rest of us have dealt with market fluctuations, so to speak, in certain parts of the country, you know, whether you're in Nevada or California or Florida or, you know, in the Midwest, anywhere. New York's dealt with this, pretty much any major market. Texas dealt with this when the oil crashed years ago. I mean, this happens, but not DC, boy. They never deal with market fluctuations because nobody ever loses their job. And now it's all changed. So, like I said, it doesn't make me happy. But now we have another threat. We were talking earlier about threats from the southern border. Now we've got a threat from mainly from the northern border that's pretty scary. It's what biologists call super pigs. Have you heard of these, Ethan? Super pigs.
I have not.
These apparently are pigs that have been, you know, wild pigs are enough of a problem, right? In the parts of the country where they exist, they are a huge problem, as you know. They destroy everything they possibly can get their little mouths around, and they breed ridiculously high amounts of little baby pigs. But apparently there are some pigs out here that are wild, but they've been bred with domestic pigs. Okay. Some people call them an ecological train wreck. They're crossbreeds, wild boars deliberately bred with domestic pigs. They're big, so they're bigger. Okay. They're smart and they're prolific breeders, and their population is now spreading out of control. And one of the stories that I saw on this from CBS News, they actually had a woman who lives on the border between Montana and Canada. And she said, they're just out. She said, all this coming between me and them is this chain link, or the, not the chain link, but the barbed wire fence. That's it. She said, they're going to come over and they destroy everything they can get their little mouths around. And apparently, according to some, they breed faster than they can even use sharpshooters to take them out. So that's crazy. Anyway, so I know that's another thing to worry about, I guess. super pigs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, never mind. I don't even understand the whole thing. But, you know, whenever there's a species of animal that becomes invasive, you know, it's a problem. And many times that's happened. You know, years ago, I was watching a documentary about something in Australia where they had imported cane toads to limit some kind of bug that was bothering the farmers. And then the cane toads just took over. Because that's what happens when you bring in an invasive species. There aren't the natural balances that there should be. You know, things that will take the bad guys out. So it's always something to be concerned about for sure. Coming up, we'll be speaking with Jessie Jane Duff. Always fun to talk to her. And Tom Ackerman, KMOX Sports Director. We're going to talk a little bit about, I'm picking the topic, right? We're going to talk a little bit about Kelce and whether he should retire or not. And when he retires, if he decides to, obviously it's going to make a difference to the Chiefs financially. So we'll talk about that. I mean, don't you think he retired the day before the Super Bowl, Ethan? I mean, let's be honest here.
He didn't put up much of an effort. I mean, in my opinion.
Well, oh my gosh, I've never seen a collapse like that in my life.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
And I know it was terrible. Well, there have been Super Bowls that were very lopsided in the past. I get it. I understand that. And I had to look those. I remember who was it who lost by, I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to go over all that. But there have been very lopsided Super Bowls. But no one expected that from the Chiefs. And I'm a Chiefs fan and have been for years. Nobody expected that. We knew the Eagles were going to be tough. We knew that they had to do the best they could. And I was thinking to myself, all they have to do is shut down Saquon Barkley and they're good. That's what I was thinking, foolishly. By the way, the sports books in Vegas made a fortune off the Eagles. Yeah, so there you go. But I knew they'd be a tough team, but we had no idea that Chiefs would completely collapse like they did. We'll talk with Tom Ackerman coming up here in a minute about that. Going back to these federal workers who have been canned by Trump, 220,000 federal workers of the total federal government workforce had less than 1 year of experience as of March 2024. A lot of these people who are in the probationary period, they're getting rid of. Hey, that's why it's a probationary period, right? The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, 100 people were laid off. All right, there you go. Termination notices in the Department of Education to more than 60 probationary employees across multiple work groups were sent. Okay, well, you know, that's why it's called probationary. The period of time when they can fire you for anything. Hello, duh. I don't know why they even have a Department of Education. I know he's trying to get rid of that, and he should. Everybody should have whatever the local jurisdiction is, state, city, county, they should have their own school districts where they, you know, decide to teach. Obviously, there should be some kind of, you know, standards on what kids are taught. But as far as the other nonsense that comes down from the Department of Education, they don't care about kids. They showed us that during COVID. They wanted your kids staying home when their risk of dying from COVID was practically none, and they didn't care. And they weren't getting education for years. But they showed us they don't care about kids. We all know they don't care about kids. Department of Health and Human Services, 1,300 people were fired last week. And I could go down the list, but let's get to Jesse Jane Duff coming up first. That'll be right after the break. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good morning. Always my privilege sitting in for Mark Cox and crew as they take a well-deserved President's Day off. Jesse Jane Duff is here, but of course, she's got her own very cool theme song.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Yes, we do. Jesse Jane Duff. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. How are you?
No, I still crack up every time y'all play that, but that's great. You know, I just wish everybody in my life would know you will not speak till you're spoken to. It doesn't seem to work very well out here in the civilian world.
No, it does not. I'm so glad to talk to you again. Here's what I think is hilarious. Last weekend, as you know, J.D. Vance spanked the EU, basically, in Munich. And I think it's funny that Zelensky is calling for an armed forces of Europe. That's fascinating to me. What do you think?
Well, that'd be fabulous, but I don't see how it's going to happen because the European forces have diminished into lower levels. They're not investing into their own national defense the way they should be. I believe it's Britain that can sustain itself with its armament for maybe a day and a half. In fact, so they need to create, and I don't mean to put down any of our British or military allies in Europe. Keep in mind, without them, Nazis would not have been defeated. They have. There were some comments made that were very unfair to the European allies, I would say, by one of the cabinet holders. But I would say that they are known to know how to fight. They are fearless when they need to be. They sacrificed much during many of the combatant activities with the United States. But we have accelerated fast forward after years of the Obamas and the Clintons and even George Bush not holding them accountable and knowing that the United States would be there to ensure that they were safe and comfortable. Of course, why wouldn't they take advantage of that? This is of the United States' own doing. And now it's going to be of President Trump's undoing. He's going to ensure that they step back up to the plate, provide the military forces that they need to for their own protection, because our European allies have been profiting off of that, basking in the freedom of being a NATO alliance, which required the United States to come to their defense. So I agree with Zelensky. He is very he's very appropriate to call for this.
Yeah, he's being very pragmatic, to say the least. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. We're speaking, of course, with Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff. Always thrilled to have her here. So what do you think about the idea that they're going to have negotiations with Russia and not include Ukraine, at least on the first pass, I guess?
Well, Russia is the one that has done primarily the most aggression. So you have to find out what we can accommodate with Russia. What is it that they're going to be willing to relinquish? Because, you know, there were, again, comments said that we would not, it's unrealistic for the Ukraine to expect to get any of its borders back from pre-2014. That was not fair to put the president in that type of position, because that is just basically handing everything over to Putin. So essentially, Putin has to be able to know what he can and cannot do, what he's going to be able to leverage. I think Zelensky will be included, and I do expect that President Trump is going to come to a deal that both of them will have no ability to say no to, because it'll be a win and a loss for both sides. Essentially, that's what is the art of the deal. That is what you experience. Anybody's been in divorce, that's what arbitration is. It allows each side to have a win, and you will have to sacrifice something too.
No, that's very, very true. And, you know, if you have, I was talking about this earlier and kind of using this analogy, if you have an argument with your neighbor and the police show up, the first thing they do is separate you and get your side and the neighbor's side, right? That's the first thing they do. So it makes sense to me to talk to Russia by themselves, talk to Ukraine by themselves, bring them together. Where can we meet? Both of them are going to have to give something up. As you mentioned, you want them to walk away winners, but you also know that they have to give something up.
Absolutely. And many who have been supporting Zelensky feel that it's unfair because Russia was the aggressor. And when you do go back in history, it was Bill Clinton that had them sign this treaty that they would never, never encroach upon Ukraine as long as Ukraine gave up its nuclear capability. And the Ukraine did just that. So Putin's logic of, well, I was being threatened with having NATO allies on my border, which was not part of that agreement, is inexcusable still to now surge upon the Ukraine and have this death toll that has been so horrifically massive. For what? For what? You've right. depleted your own country. You depleted your greatest blood and treasure, which is your citizenship. This is a messy battle that has gone on. And I hear people, you know, on the right say, oh, well, Ukraine's the most corrupt country. They've done all of these corrupt activities. And you're telling me Russia hasn't? I mean, we're dealing with kind of like two alley cats here. Okay, so let's just like try to make sure that we spay and neuter them. That's kind of my logic.
Yeah, bad guys and worse guys is what we're talking about here. That's the truth at the end of the day. But we can't continue to give them ridiculous amounts of money when Russia's ultimately going to win because they've got the people they can continue to put in the buzzsaw indefinitely. And that's what's so sad.
I don't know that anybody has the people indefinitely, but what's happened is that you've created such a condition where no longer is Ukraine productive at the levels it should be. Keep in mind, they're a European breadbasket. They have some of the greatest agriculture, the greatest soils. You also know that there is energy resources with Vladimir Putin. Was that a Freudian slip? But Putin, we got to get sometimes these folks to be able to come to the table and be reasonable neighbors that can be productive in all of society instead of this these type of avalanche approaches that they have to takeovers. I mean, keep in mind, Russia's been closely aligned with Iran and closely aligned with a lot of the attacks that have been going on throughout the Middle East. So what we have to ensure is that Russia is neutered from that and, you know, become a productive member of the world stage versus that of this anarchy and chaos, which seems to be the platform they want because the greed of having larger borders, larger populations, and having your ideology spread throughout the world seems to really miss the mark because there's nonetheless, very few people that can believe that communism and this overwhelming approach of government control, particularly Americans who have had a brief experience with that in the last 4 years, is productive for all of humanity. It is not. But Europe, yeah, definitely. I don't see how they're going to suddenly have their own forces. How are they going to do it? They're barely producing enough revenue to supply to the NATO alliance and the United States has become the big papa for them that has gone in with the baseball bat every time they've needed help, and that has to stop.
Absolutely. And I'm glad there's a new sheriff in town. And I think it was funny that J.D. Vance was so bold speaking in Munich. These world leaders, they don't know what to make of him. They're just astounded that there's a new sheriff in town and actually acting like it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Calling them out for their lack of free speech. I think 60 Minutes covered that again. So here it is in Germany, for example. The 60 Minutes, I didn't watch it. I watched it on Twitter. I want to have full disclaimer there. I don't watch 60 Minutes. But I did see on Twitter that they go into this house, to arrest somebody because of a meme that they had posted. And they basically say that, you know, any speech that is hate speech or what they deem to be hate speech or misinformation can cause arrest. This is going on in Britain also. And their excuse for it is because of the Holocaust. Well, so now you're acting like the Holocaust all over again because now it's government-controlled speech, which is just the exact thing of what happened during the Holocaust. So here we are. You know, Europeans have lost their ability to speak. They got their tapes over their mouths, and they're suffocating under their own ideology.
Yeah, and God bless J.D. Vance for calling him out on it. Jesse Jane Duff, always a privilege talking to you.
Take the hill, motivators. It's not going to be such a long week. We got a day off today, so take the hill, motivators.
Take the hill. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate that. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchorman, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Good morning. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox and Crew. Since it's President's Day, Tom Ackerman joins me, sports director of KMOX, our sister station. How are you, my friend?
What's up, Heidi? How are you?
Hey, let's talk about Travis Kelce, okay? He's got to retire or make a decision by a certain date now, right? This is important.
If Travis Kelce retires, he's going to make a ton of money in his second life. I'll tell you, being a football player takes a lot of work and preparation. If you're not 100% committed, you're not going to do well, even if you're Travis Kelce, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, tight end of all time. But, you know, I've watched him. I mean, he's not only dating the powerhouse superstar in Taylor Swift, but he's a game show host. I've seen him host podcasts. I think he would be a fantastic broadcaster, analyst, if he, you know, were to take anything as seriously as he takes football. I think he'd be great at it. He's excellent at playing the game, but, you know, we'll see. But if he's all in, if he's committed, then, you know, he'll get right back at it, and the Chiefs are going to be great. If not, the Chiefs are going to have to look for some people to catch the ball from Patrick Mahomes, because I think that's their biggest problem. They have a great defense. They're a really good team. I mean, they're talented. They've got a lot of talent. But Mahomes really doesn't have a number one, a true number one receiver outside of Kelce, his tight end. He's kind of like Patrick's security blanket. He'll just throw one over the middle. Travis will make the catch, do that little spin move that he always does.
Except during the Super Bowl.
Get some extra. I know. And the Eagles were great. I mean, they put it on him. The Eagles looked great. He made his first catch in the third quarter. And, you know, really the problem for the Chiefs was not Travis in that Super Bowl. It was their offensive line. They could not block that defensive line of the Eagles. They were getting back there every single time, it seemed. Patrick was running for his life, and there was no chance for the Chiefs in that game. I thought that game was over early.
Yeah, it was. Do you think there's any credence to the thought that Patrick Mahomes got a concussion early in the game? Because he went, if you watch the replay, and I'm sure you did, he went straight down on that, on the ground, and popped his head, bounced up. And a lot of people think he just wasn't right after that first sack.
That could be. You just have to trust the staff that they do the right thing and that they checked him out medically and made sure that he was okay. But I don't think that even if he was of sound mind, that he was going to be able to handle that rush from the Eagles. I mean, they were all back. There's nothing you can do. I mean, if you can't block them, you're not going to beat them. And you know what's the amazing thing about the Eagles? They didn't blitz one time the entire game. They rushed four men the entire game. And then, of course, they have a very good linebacker core and secondary. And they just played good, solid defense against a team that's basically done that to other teams all year, played great defense. The Eagles were the better team on the field, period.
They were, for sure. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes has been on his back most of the year. I mean, the offensive line hasn't been that great. I'm surprised Andy Reid didn't shore it up before the Super Bowl. He had to know that was a weak spot. Everybody knew that.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot you can do except go out and you know, go into your depth and try to find people that can play it. I mean, at this point, everybody's accounted for. You can't go out and sign other players that are starting. You could go grab some free agents off the street. But, I mean, the Chiefs had all that they could do in terms of their offensive line, and it cost them. Now, Mahomes also, one thing he never did was throw interceptions, and that Eagles secondary was waiting for him, and they had two big interceptions, including one that was returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, you can't make mistakes. You'll beat yourself if you do that kind of thing in the Super Bowl. You can't.
No, no doubt.
I mean, there have been a lot of major blowouts, obviously, in Super Bowl games, but to see a team this good do it was so surprising to everybody. All right, I want to get to hockey. We beat the Canadians. That's a big deal. Talk about that.
It is a big deal. That is called the Four Nations Face-Off. It is U.S. and Canada that were going at it on Saturday night, and I mean going at it. The first drop of the puck, there was a fight right away involving the U.S. forward and St. Louis kid, Matthew Tkachuk. Then after he, what I would say was a draw, though he got taken down, his brother, a couple of seconds later, got into a fight as well. Brady Tkachuk, another great one of our St. Louis kids, these guys that have grown into big-time hockey players in the NHL, he did get a nice little takedown there, and Brady egged on the crowd. They were booing the United States. They booed the national anthem, all that stuff. The Canadians were all riled up, 21,000 plus at Bell Center. And then 9 seconds into the game, a third fight breaks out in front of the goal. There's a scrum in front of the net, and it involves one of our own as well. Blues defenseman Colton Parayko, playing for Canada, he gets into a fight. The crowd loved it. It was electric. It was fun. It was actually reminiscent of some of the old days of the great rivalries. You know, we haven't seen the best of the best in U.S. and Canada go head-to-head since the Olympics in 2010. So it's been a while. So now a primer for what's to come in the future Olympics and these professionals playing at a very high level. I thought it was great. Now, the U.S. is not the better skilled team, I don't think. I think the better skilled team is Canada. They have the most high-end skill. But U.S. brought the heavies, man. I mean, these guys were ready to go. They can fight. They can hit. They make life miserable for you. And they won that game 3-1. So the United States advances to the championship game, regardless of what happens today to them in Boston. They're going to play Sweden. Doesn't matter. They're already in the championship game, and they'll play that Thursday in Boston. That is going to be wild.
That's exciting. That is very exciting. All right, let's talk about NASCAR briefly. How about Trump? How about Trump taking a lap in the Beast? That was so great.
Yeah, I really enjoy the Daytona 500. It's a great piece of America. I love the race. I think it's a great crowd, great tradition. The thing dragged on for a while because of weather delays, but they do an amazing job of that at that facility. It's so first class in everything that they do. They dried the track, and they had a heck of a race that ended up with all of these just spectacular crashes that thankfully avoided any sort of major injury. I mean, I just think it's incredible how they put these drivers securely in these cars. I mean, we had a car, Ryan Preece flipped his car. I mean, you never see that from a car in NASCAR Cup. This car went airborne. It was upside down, came back down. He just climbs right out of it. It ends up being won by William Byron, who wins back-to-back Daytona 500s. Love the Daytona 500. And NASCAR's playoff race, one of them, is going to be in St. Louis. They have moved that to September 7th, so St. Louis now gets to host a NASCAR playoff race. We're going to have some time at the beginning of September.
That'll be so great. And the whole event was great. Great weekend for sports, that's for sure.
Oh, it sure was. There's so much going on. We're going to have another big one here in St. Louis. How about this on Saturday? We're going to have this coming Saturday in St. Louis, three events going on here in the city. You have St. Louis University basketball taking on Rhode Island at 1:30. The Blues will be back playing. They're going to be home against Winnipeg at 6, just down the road. And then right between those two facilities is Energizer Park and Major League Soccer's opener here in St. Louis. St. Louis against Colorado will be going down at 7:30 on Saturday night. Not to mention the Cardinals playing their first game in Florida, Missouri playing at Arkansas, Illinois playing Duke at Madison Square Garden. All six of those games going on Saturday, February 22nd.
Wow. Well, thanks for the information. It's going to be exciting this time of year. That's
yeah,
for sure.
It is an awesome time of year to get sports, all these sports converging. I love it.
And it'll be fun to see what happens with Kelsey if he does retire, because you know there's a spot on a desk somewhere for him, because he is going to be amazing. He's very charismatic, very smart, does a great podcast, and should be fun to see what happens with him.
That's He'll be sure. Living the high life, that's for sure. Not to mention Taylor Swift taking him everywhere, and you know they'll be attending award shows and whatever else he's going to do with his life. But he's a heck of a football player, and someday he's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is one of the greatest ever.
No question about it. Thank you, Tom Ackerman. Appreciate you being here again.
Thanks,
Always
Heidi.
Fun talking to you.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
I love it that you timed it that way, Ethan. I mean, people don't understand how hard it is to time these things correctly. It takes talent and ability, and I appreciate you doing that.
And luck.
And luck. Well, and the host knowing when to come in, right?
Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah. Appreciate working with you, Ethan. Everybody else is off today, but the skeleton crew is here, and we are holding down the fort. Mark Cox and crew will be back tomorrow. The pregnant Kim St. Ange, how's she looking? She looking pregnant yet or not yet?
No, you couldn't tell. I can't tell.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting.
But I'm also not trying to look either.
You can't do that anymore. You wind up in HR.
<I know.
laughs> That's true. You don't do that. And Crazy Carl, who we love dearly. All right. Now, this is something you're supposed to feel guilty about. This is hilarious. You know when you put the thumbs up, when you send somebody a text or something and you use the thumb up? Did you know that there are choices of colors? You knew that, right?
I believe I knew that, but I mean, it's always yellow, so that's the one, the first one I got.
There's the yellow one, and then you can pick another color if you want to. You can pick a kind of a chocolate brown one or a chocolate milk one that's not quite as dark, or a couple other ones that are various shades of brown, and then one that looks like a Caucasian thumb. Okay, huh. I did not know this was even a thing. I send the yellow one because I didn't think that was offensive. NPR put out a tweet the other day saying some white people may choose the yellow thumb because it feels neutral. But some academics argue that opting out of the yellow thumb signals a lack of opting out of the Caucasian thumb. So in other words, using the yellow thumb instead of the Caucasian one signals a lack of awareness about white privilege, akin to society associating whiteness with being raceless. Somebody at NPR tweeted that.
I just thought it was a Simpsons thumb.
You know, I guess these people have to have something to tweet about. I guess some people wake up in the morning and look for something to be outraged about. That's all I can figure out. I don't know. But here's an interesting thing. Gallup released a poll this last week where Democrats are more likely to say they want their party to become more moderate than they were 4 years ago. And that's a big deal because here is this survey was conducted during the first week of President Trump's second term. Among Democrats and Democrat-leading independents, Democrat-leaning independents, I should say, 45% say they want their party to become more moderate. 29% said they want the party to become more liberal. 22% said they want them to stay the same. Well, if they're going to stay the same, they're going to continue to lose races. But this is a big deal. In 2021, Democrats and Democrat-leaning independents were almost evenly divided. So it looks like it's gone up 10 points as far as, and I hate numbers on the radio, so sorry about that, folks. But it is interesting that more and more Democrats were walking away from the Democrat policies. And they want the party to become more moderate because it has gotten completely insane. The idea that children should be able to read any book they want to, however pornographic, in school, when you still have to be 18 to what? Go to a certain movies. You have to be 17 to get in an R-rated movie. You know, you can't buy certain video games. I mean, parents certainly can let you use them in their own house if they choose to, but video games are rated for a certain age. You know, you can't process things the same way when you're under a certain age. A six-year-old, eight-year-old cannot process reading hardcore things that are made for adults. I mean, when somebody argues that that's book banning, I mean, you have to say to yourself, what's wrong with you? It's common sense that parents should know what their children are exposed to in school. I mean, I could go down the whole list. Y'all know that. But the things that Democrats were pushing, and I'm not saying every Democrat, because certainly Democrats I know weren't pushing this stuff, but the party was pushing such ridiculous, ridiculous agenda. You know, people, boys being able to compete with girls and physically hurt girls, but that's okay because it's all part of the agenda. Well, that's okay because they get disadvantaged in other ways, so we'll let them go ahead and what? Hurt women in sports? Take a woman's scholarship away? I mean, that doesn't make it's not a right or left issue. It makes no sense for children to be allowed to chop body parts off or someone to do it for them and nobody stops it. You know, it used to be that, you know, people like Hillary Clinton would talk about it takes a village, you know, and there was a certain, not that you necessarily want a village, depends on who's in the village, right? But certainly it was considered that society should look out for children. And now we've got people hiding children who supposedly say they're some other sex or think they are, encouraging kids to go down that funnel, hiding it from the parents, and wanting children to have surgeries that are, but this is all Democrats. I mean, I don't need to go into details about the surgeries. If you don't know what's happening, you should. I remember there was an event where Megyn Kelly was on with Bill Maher. I don't watch Bill Maher, but I heard about the event. And Megyn Kelly was on there and she was talking about what children can do during these sex change operations, and the audience gasped. Well, why are you gasping? What the reason you're gasping is because the average mainstream Democrat doesn't know what's happening. And that's intentional. It's one thing for you to say, yep, I know that's happening. They're basically maiming these children or turning them into medical eunuchs, and I'm fine with that. No, that wasn't it. They gasped when Megyn Kelly talked about some of the things that are happening with children. Because you don't know. You think it's, oh, they just, you know, they just want to be happy and, you know, they just can't decide if they're a boy. No. And so now common sense has been brought back. And a lot of Democrats who are just normal people who aren't necessarily Trumpers, but they aren't on board with this stuff. And I've interviewed many of these people. And you can find all that stuff, Heidi Harris Show, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Rumble. I've interviewed liberal people, many liberal people who are not on board with this trans agenda. They're liberals. They'd never vote for Trump. But they see this stuff happening and say, what is going on? And that's legitimate. So maybe the Democrat Party should moderate. That's for sure. I think it would help them a lot. Okay, Mark and Cox and crew will be back tomorrow. Kim and everybody, thank you, Ethan, for doing a great job. I appreciate you sticking it out with me today.
I appreciate you too, Heidi. It's been fun.
Always fun. You know, I never get tired of winning. I never get tired of seeing. I've been watching the Washington, D.C. real estate. And coming soon, all these condos and houses are on the market now for all these people probably getting fired from Trump. And that doesn't give me any joy, but guess what? We're cleaning house. It'll be interesting to see how it affects the market long term. It's a lot of fun stuff going on right now. Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy and fun term, that's for sure. I'm Heidi Harris. Everybody have a great President's Day.